Hello and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. We are back. I'm sorry that it took so long for us to get here. And honestly, I'm sorry for the shape that we're coming back in. A lot of stuff happened. We had very complicated schedules. Our equipment has been all types of weird. And NYPD Blue came off of Hulu and Tubi and Amazon Prime. So there's no definitive way to watch it. So we came up with a plan that you may not like. Some people didn't like the commentary episodes from a couple years ago. Well, they're back. We're doing a commentary episode in quotes of this episode, season 10, episode 3, One in the Nuts, and several episodes of season 10. But we had to edit some stuff out and edit it around, so it's not really a true commentary. You can try and watch it along with us. I apologize ahead of time. Also, Kyle's dog is in the room, and he screwed up some stuff. I don't know. I'll talk to you at the end. Hello, and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls, the show where I, Kirk, and the other voice, Kyle, talk about every single episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue. It's a commentary episode. We've already started it, and Sipowicz is talking to some dude in a hat and a mustache.
His name's Lenny, 100%.
You're just calling it right now?
Yeah, with that mustache.
His name is Lenny.
Okay, maybe not.
So this one, there is a DOA in an apartment, and he got shot in the nuts.
Hence the name of the...
One in the Nuts.
One in the Nuts.
Now, in this episode, something that I want to ask you about, they talk all the time about how this was probably a lover's quarrel. And is he gay because he got shot in the nuts?
There's no bullet hole.
In his nuts?
Anywhere where his nuts were. So I'm just saying, like, if you rewind it and, like, they give a crotch shot and it's a bloody crotch, but there's no hole. Where'd the bullet go? It coming from the back?
I don't know, Kyle, but this is a slight famous face. That's Ian Gomez. He's on Drew Carey's show, handful of other things. But they talk to him, and he's just his business partner, but they're so focused on he must be gay because he got shot in the nuts. Was that just like a thing in the early 2000s? Were gay dudes getting shot in the dick and balls?
No, but I mean...
Because I don't understand why they're so focused on it being
gay.
Yeah,
why couldn't a woman... Why couldn't he have been in a straight relationship and the woman shot him in the nuts? You know what I mean?
I just was like, because they say it like three times in the intro. And then I think someone says it later.
I forget what they're selling again. What is it that they sell?
It's just like swag. Apparently, this guy says it's just bulk purchase, like electronics and random shit.
That they just resell for more money.
Yeah.
Oh, got it. It's like those. It's like all those shops in New York City, but they just do it from their apartment, it seems like.
I guess. We're going to find out more about his business and his business dealings.
In a minute, yeah.
And I will say, I mean...
See, no hole. No bullet hole. Like, they might as well show you his dick, but they're not. But there's no hole.
Wait, what? Like, they might as well show you his dick, but not... Okay, now you're rewind. There's no reason.
Just what? See, no hole, dude. Where did he get shot?
Okay, don't watch the episode while listening to us, because now it doesn't
matter. If you do, when the credits start, just rewind 10 seconds. We just looked at his dead body again to see that there was no hole. We're now watching the credits again.
If there's no hole, then how did he pee?
Exactly. If you need to help get caught up or come back, we are just now getting Dennis Franz and his name on screen. That's where we're at.
This is season 10, episode 3, One in the Nuts. And you probably should just watch the episode before you listen to this because we're talking about it as a whole.
Who watches a TV show and listens to something else? Who would do that?
People who listen, who watch stuff and listen to commentaries.
No, but that commentary has something to do with that thing. I'm just saying, like, if they've never seen this, why would they put that on and us at the same time? You get what I'm saying? It's like when I watch the Mystery Men commentary, I've already seen Mystery Men, so I want to hear what they have to say about it.
You watching the Mystery Men commentary a lot?
Maybe in my younger years. In my wonder years. That's a rhyme. You're welcome.
It's the same word
Still rhymes.
So we have what? Jesus Christ!
It's the dog.
The dog hit rewind on the DVD.
Anyway, this is a good time to remind.
Don't get animals. This is a good time to don't have an animal. They're kind of the worst sometimes.
Also, I somehow muted myself on accident.
So should we just start this over?
No, for like 30 seconds.
Okay.
But this is a good time to remind you, look, we took a break, okay? We had the holidays, and then we were busy. We're coming back, and we're trying our best.
And when you watch this episode, you'll realize why it's so hard to...
focus on it?
Do these now.
And we only have like 3 seasons left.
We only have 36 more. We have 36 more hours of these.
Somewhat.
That made it good. Who's this guy?
It's not a commentary anymore. The episode's on in the background while we're talking about it. This dude just had a robbery, and he...
No, who's the famous face?
Not this fucker, the dude in the first scene. You weren't paying attention.
This guy's also a famous face.
I don't know his
He's
ass.
Like a well-known character actor.
I don't know him.
You're a fame whore.
What the fuck? You
only
you
want people
to?
Who are like second, third, fourth build. You can't be a character actor.
Who is he?
Steve Stephanopoulos.
You have no idea who he is.
Everyone calls him Sandy.
Fucking goddamn.
If I find out who he is and I can name and I can show you why you should have looked him up, will you eat crow?
No.
Like a real crow. I have one in my fridge.
No, I won't. Because you are actively ruining what we're doing right
this,
now.
Now, this whole scene to me, this is like, you can tell they're not shooting it in real New York City anymore.
No, it's
this is a backdrop, and it like you can kind of get the feel for it, and this it starts to like not feel like a as cool as it used to at the TV show.
You can hear the Universal tram going by in this one. Also, that guy on the gurney, he was shot, says that he was robbed and just made it into an apartment building. That guy is someone who's been on NYPD Blue 3 different times as 3 different characters.
Oh, interesting. Funny how you know him, but not the other guy.
No, I don't know the other guy. The other guy can kick fucking rocks. I hope that guy never worked in anything else. I hope he went back to fucking fixing cars or whatever his ass did. So this whole storyline is really fucking dumb to me. So that guy was shot. They claim they don't know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
We come to find out that he was an ex-boyfriend of the lady that they talked to.
Wow, so we're not going to get there? We're not going to let it play out? You're just like, do we want to watch it? Or?
You've been fucking rewinding. It doesn't matter. We're playing with time.
We never went forward.
We certainly never did. Ain't that the truth? So, something I want you to notice. Oh. She gets a note. She gets a message from her sister.
Yep. This is where shit starts to get real for her.
And everybody's doing these glances because nobody knew that she had a sister, including the audience.
Yeah, that's true. And that's solidified by the lieutenant saying, "I didn't know she had a sister."
Neither did Rita, and we know they're best friends because they're the only 2 women in here.
When they are partners, like this show makes you like feel like Sipowicz is like live or die, whether I want it or not, whoever's my partner is my best fucking friend. Like Danny's going through shit and he's being a shithead, but he's my best friend and I have to tell him shit. He has to tell me shit.
Oh.
But as soon as they leave,
he never talks to him again.
We don't ever hear about him corresponding with John Kelly ever again.
We do, actually.
Well, he says it once.
Yeah.
And then that's it. He never talks about it again. They don't talk. They don't keep in touch. Like, this is all... It's so interesting to me.
Well, they made a point in the episode when they're looking for
Like, could her sister put on a bigger t-shirt?
Hey, she's got a right to chop. We could tell that for sure. That's an Always Sunny reference.
I will say this, though. Her aesthetic, though, is of the time, and it's now what everyone is wearing. Everyone's wears baggy shirts. Baggy shirts and pants are in now again.
Yeah, and just like of the time now, everybody's a terrible actress. I don't think she does a good job at all.
You don't?
No. I think one of the problems is...
Oh, did I pregnant shame her by making fun of the t-shirt? I forgot she was pregnant.
Yeah, kind of. You're over here making fun of women. You basically called her fat.
Oof. Well.
So...
Do some crunches.
They're great. They're great for the baby.
Yeah, baby will love it. It'll think it's a ride.
What is this?
No,
thing?
She
No, the baby thinks it's a ride because she keeps getting beat up all the time by her fucking husband. It's really fucked up. I don't agree with it, but it's really ridiculous that. Also, fundamentally, her sister is kind of the worst.
Why?
Because
she's in an abusive relationship and emotionally scarred and doesn't know how to get out of it. And is now tied to this emotional abuser because she's pregnant.
Sure, if you want to make me look like an asshole.
But no, I get why the pregnant, abused woman is fundamentally the worst.
Look, do I want to be the villain of this piece? Maybe.
But yes, Kirk, I'm the hater.
She's kind of the worst because she calls up her sister out of the blue. She's like, hey, in New York, been in New York for several months. I'm pregnant. My husband's hitting me, and I don't want that to happen anymore. Can I just stay at your place? And she's like, sure, whatever. Get back to my place. And I know, not to spoil, because you said we got to watch it. Spoiler alert. She goes back to him. So it's like, I don't know.
Maybe did you just want to start that next episode? You want to just talk about the ending now? We can just start to the next episodes?
No.
Dr. Dre?
What?
Getting ready for the next episode. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Didn't even know that song. So they're...
Yeah, because you're not a cool guy. Whoa. Like, she could pull her pants up, right? like it would be okay.
The woman that's working in the adult bookstore or video store or...
Like, and she could, like, dry her hair? Or do you think she's just hot in that store?
Well, I think she's been going through it because we find out she is a former crack whore.
Emphasis on the former.
And she has a job, and she's doing her best.
Okay, but fair, but like, you could pull your pants up.
Hey, you know what? While you're pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, why stop there? Let's pull up them pants.
Nah, like, don't even pull your bootstraps. Just pull your jean straps up. We're good to go.
But I think if she pulled her pants up, then she'd look like she's in a flood.
Yeah, better than me seeing your pussy, dude. Like, what are we talking about here? What?
Oh,
and I mean, it just doesn't look comfortable.
She also has a...
You can have a tramp stamp. That's great, too. Stamp. And you can have a tattoo there. Let's not call it a tramp stamp. You can have a tattoo there. But, like, the way her pants looked, they just didn't look comfortable.
So, in this episode, there was a bodega robbery with a Hispanic man. And now it's going
just
faster.
Why did you have to say anything? Why did you have to say anything?
To highlight what a shit show this one is.
Well, it matches the energy of this episode.
So, she jams the fucking radio in because she's pissed. So basically, the story is there was a Hispanic man who robbed a bodega. They thought it was the shot guy at this apartment. Turns out there's a dead dude in a port-a-john, and they're gonna go check that out. I want to talk about this. She comes back and she's just straight up like, ugh. my sister is with this guy that beats her. How are you guys going to take care of it? Because I said I wouldn't. And it's like, what? They have their own work to do. And even the boss is like, hey, we're real busy right now. We'll deal with it later. And Sibowitz goes, we'll make time. Isn't that just insubordinate to be like, I know what you said, but we'll make time and fix it.
Yeah, but you know Sipowicz is going to do this first and then do the other thing. Like, right?
Do we?
I don't know. That's what it kind of comes off for me. He's going to find time. Like, yeah, he'll find time to stop off and talk to the guy, but he's going to go do the other thing first. Like, but he'll find time.
I thought this guy gave a pretty fun performance. He's the dude that found the dude in the port-a-john. He's just a drunk fisherman that broke open a port-a-john and found a dead Hispanic man inside. And he just keeps talking and talking.
Is that his official credit?
He says his name. I don't remember what it is.
Drunk fisherman
who finds, breaks open a port-a-john and finds a dead Hispanic man inside.
So you know what's
funny? You know what you need that microphone in front of your face.
I did it on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Sure you did. That's all you have to do. Just keep the microphone.
I know. I've been doing it the whole time when I've been wanting to be on microphone.
Can I just say something?
Well, yeah, I mean.
About porta-johns and porta-potties.
Uh-huh.
We all know they smell like shit.
Do we?
We all know that they're terrible.
Do we?
It's just a giant pot of human waste. We all know. So why is everybody always like, oh, Jesus, it smells. Yeah. It's a port-a-john. It's a toilet that no one cleans.
I mean, that's not true. They do get cleaned at some point.
Okay. By who? Who's doing it?
Whoever's renting it. Like, if you rent a port-a-john, you can have it set up where they'll come out. Well, they'll have to. They come out, like, once or twice a week, and they'll clean it out, and then they'll like spray the whole inside or like disinfect it.
Oh, a quick spray, a quick spritz, a little. Tss. So this is the brother of the guy that shot, and they're trying to figure out why the fuck this guy was over in this part of town when he lives in the other part of town. And the guy's like, I don't know. He said he was going to see a friend, some lady, and then they say a name, and he goes, I don't know who he went to see, but that's a woman he dated a while ago. And it's like, it's probably that woman. Like, what? Like, I can't believe his brother didn't put two and two together right there.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you were like, oh, I'm gonna go see so and so, and you hadn't seen them, and like, well, no, I guess not. Well, no, I wouldn't necessarily think anything. It would just be like, oh, that's weird. If you're also not saying anything. He didn't, may not have told them who he was seeing. He might be keeping a secret.
He didn't tell them who he was seeing. But exactly. Once they bring up the woman's name, he's like, well, he talked to her a while ago. It's like, it seems like something the brother would put together and be like, oh, he probably went to see her. If they're bringing up her name, then she might be involved. He probably went to see her. But he's just like, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know anything.
Don't touch me. Get your fucking hand on me. Do you like that green wall?
No.
I think it's interesting to go from like green to a light green, you know?
What do you mean on the wall? The two different.
Yeah, different. Like we got like, it's like good avocado, not ready avocado. You know what I mean?
Not at all.
With the rind down the middle.
Oh, yeah.
I love when they run out the window.
They went to pick up this guy. He shoots at a cop and hits him in the arm.
How does he not get shot right there?
Oh, he'd be shot and killed. He would be dead. Yeah.
You have to be really, either really buff or that suit has to be really tight. For it to your muscles to be outlined in your suit jacket when you're holding a gun.
You're talking about Jones?
Yeah.
Well, they didn't hire him, you know. they hired him for a little eye candy.
They didn't hire him for his acting. You know what I mean?
He's not a terrible actor, but...
No, he's actually one of the more decent ones in the last couple of years.
They wanted more lady viewers and gay dude viewers. And non-binary viewers that are attracted to men.
I think Dennis Franz was getting all the gay viewers for him, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, totally. Not Mark Paul Goss.
They call him the hedgehog, you know what I mean?
They brought this dude in because the woman at the adult store said that Rocky beat this dude out for some coke or something, some bad drug deal, and said he was going to take revenge. What I like about this interview is they're really pissed at him because he shot at a cop, and then he just is like, look, I beat a dude today, but I didn't kill anybody.
Yeah.
And they're all like, oh. And he's like, so this doesn't have anything to do with Dervis? And he's like, no, it doesn't. And then Sipowicz walks out and says he's going to be arrested for attempted murder of a cop, which
is not fair because he wouldn't have been putting that in the beginning, and he wouldn't have been putting that predicament in the first place if they would have done their job.
So you're saying there's a sense of injustice because the only reason they knocked on his door was because someone pointed it into his direction, yeah, and he had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, instead of like doing more for, instead of doing better detective work and digging more and getting more info, they just went to go arrest him.
This is one of the few times that I won't agree with you, only because it didn't give him, that didn't.
That's all I hear from you right now.
They didn't put the gun in his hand to shoot at somebody, let alone a dude in a uniform.
But if he has a right to carry that gun, which is fine.
I don't think he does.
Well, we don't know. You don't know that. Echo.
Even if he had a right to carry the gun, you don't have a right to shoot it in the street. That's like every dude on the show talks about that. You can't just shoot your gun in the street.
You felt under attack. Second Amendment right, dude.
Whatever. Now you're just being contrarian.
Your mother's contrarian.
So they get a hit that someone's trying to sell the Palm Pilots. Remember Palm Pilots?
Not really, no.
Do you remember Palm Pilots?
I remember like seeing one or two, but I don't really. I've never really had to use them or cared about it.
So I want to talk about this scene. So Frank, her sister's husband, was picked up and is in an interrogation room. And she asks Baldwin and Medavoy to talk to him and tell them he's beating a pregnant woman. And now we have this scene.
Oh, but when I'm talking away from it, you can't hear me at all. No.
Yeah, your dog is literally trying to bite the microphone.
Eat it. Please. Eat it. Please. You're doing me the honor.
Hey, John Lennon. So you look like with those glasses.
Well, if you must know, I am in between prescriptions.
Okay.
And I've been getting migraines that I think is because my prescription is way off. And these are just the easiest ones to look through right now. Also, I think this is a bad actor. And I don't know if you agree.
I mean, he's not great. I think he has like pockets every now and then where it's like, oh, okay, I see where it's like decent. But then sometimes it's like, remember that guy? Remember her original arc when
the guy
was like Tiffy, Fifi, Beefy. So then sometimes it gets a little bit like that, and it's kind of like, oh fuck.
You were just making noise with E at the end. E beep beep
Fifi, Tiffy, and my chippies.
Your dog's out of control, man. No, he's not.
Do you, do, like, what's a little, Jones is normally an intimidating dude.
Yes.
Why, like, when they come out of there, like, she's annoyed, but she should be more annoyed at Jones.
I think she has no right to be annoyed.
100%. Like, do it yourself or don't do anything at all.
They brought him in and threatened him and told him to get on a bus, leave his wife alone, and Connie is like, you guys didn't go hard enough. And their response is like, we told him what to do. What do you want us to do? Beat the shit out of him?
Yeah.
And then she's like,
well, that's what Sipowicz would do.
Yeah, well, Sipowicz isn't getting, I mean, they're not getting laid like Sipowicz is. Also, they're not Sipowicz. Sipowicz sees red because Connie is, like, slightly perturbed.
Yeah, so he's emotionally stable.
And Jones says something very cool. He's like, hey, you want to avoid this in the future? Don't ask us for favors.
Exactly.
And it's like, good. Yeah, 100%. She has no right to be upset.
Zero.
Well, no, she has a right to be upset. She has no right to complain to them.
100%. She has a right to be upset with everything that's going on, and she has a right to be upset with how it's who it's happening to.
Did you recognize this dude?
Yeah, he's in Breaking Bad. He's one of the Nazis.
Knew it. Because I knew, I mean, I looked it up because I recognized him, but I couldn't tell what from.
Yeah, he's like the secondhand guy in charge. He's not Todd's uncle. He's Todd's uncle's friend. Yeah.
Kevin Rankin.
I don't know what else he's in. He's in more than that, but yeah.
Well, he's also in El Camino, the Breaking Bad movie, which stands to reason.
He's also in the Breaking Bad movie?
Apparently.
The guy that was in Breaking Bad is also in the Breaking Bad movie? No way.
There were a ton of people in Breaking Bad that weren't going to make it into the movie.
No way. You know who made it in that movie? Walter White. He's in that movie, too.
Mm-hmm. I don't care. So this dude is spilling right now that he was brought in on an easy score for Palm Pilots, and when they get in there, the guy fights back, and he ends up shooting him in the leg to get him off of him. That accounts for one gunshot when there were two. One to his nuts, one to his head.
But he had an accomplice.
Which is the woman that gave him the runaround with that other guy. And he also says, because he talks about selling Palm Pilots, and he's like, none of it is stolen. The only difference between me and an electronics store is the kickback you give to the government. And it's like, well, isn't that illegal?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's the illegal part, but. But not really.
Like, that's still illegal. He just shot once. Chloe. Her story is a sad one.
There was no gunshot on his leg or penis area.
You're still upset that they didn't show, like, his actual wound.
No, what I'm saying is they shouldn't have shown us anything because there should have been a gunshot wound there. But what they did is they showed us a crotch area and said that guy got shot in his dick, and I'm saying, no, he didn't because there's no gunshot
hole. Maybe he's on his man period. I will say...
Is that what you just call life? Connie gets annoyed with this woman because she keeps giving him the runaround. So, wait, I feel like she's somewhat of a famous face. Like, I feel like she's been like a character actress and stuff recently.
I don't recognize her.
Man, because brown people.
I just don't remind her. I just don't remember her or anything.
You don't remind her. You remind me of a girl
this is that how I you remind once me knew. How I really am.
Wow, Wow, see, it's we're brothers, but it's good to see where our heads are with different things.
You know who gets a bad rap? Kid Rock.
I went to Usher. That's not Kid Rock.
I know it isn't Kid
That's
Rock.
That's Nickelback.
I'm thinking of bad white people music.
You could just end with bad white people.
Speaking of bad white people, she's screaming at this
Connie
woman.
Connie is, yeah.
This is where she admits that she was dating both men. The child is 100% the dude who got shot, and he still comes around and hangs out.
Well, she stopped dating that man. I think he's about to marry or is married to the other person.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Because he's a better man. He'd be a better father.
No, he has money.
Kyle, that's the subtext.
He has money.
But what's... Yeah, and so basically, he was only shot because the husband heard a noise in the closet and just shot into the closet. And they cooked up this story so that nobody would get in trouble?
Yeah.
But I don't know who would get in trouble...
The guy who shot the man in the closet. Because you can't just, like you said, just go willy-nilly shooting anybody because you have a thing.
I said in the street.
You can't do it in your home either, I don't think.
It's his private residence. He thought he was
not being... No, I don't think you can just shoot people in your private residence, dude.
Hey, she didn't fix her hair.
So the crack... So
you were going to say the crackhead.
The crackhead. We don't know if she's selling her body for prostitution.
Well, that begs the question, is it once a crack whore, always a crack whore? Because she admits to being...
I mean, no, because you were whoring. You're not whoring anymore. You know what I mean?
Anyway, continue with what you were saying.
It's like when people stop drinking, they have the tendency to be an alcoholic. But I don't think at that moment they're an alcoholic. Do you get what I'm saying?
So she has the tendency to whore for crack?
Yeah, but she's not whoring for crack right now.
Well, no, right now she's...
Or she's not whoring, period.
But she came from Indiana to be an actress, and it took her, like...
Well, not with that face.
Wow. Okay. Damn. That was mean.
And you got a face made for character work.
Well, this is where she talks about how... Also, the guy who was killed was named Rocky Morton. Also the name of the director of the Super Mario Brothers movie and, like, four other crazy movies from that time.
Maybe they're friends with them.
And it's, like, very weird that Rocky Morton is the name of the guy who died in this. But she's mentioning that Rocky Morton found her in a bar and was like, oh, let me get you cleaned up, and then just ended up, like, selling her. And then when she's like, I just want to stop doing this, he's like, you got to pay off that crack. And then just like dumped her ass. And she got enough shit together to run this game on him. But as you know, it went bad. And she said she freaked out and she only heard one shot. So that's corroborating the other guy that there was only one shot during their altercation, which we believe is the shot in the crotch that you didn't see.
And where's the second one?
Who did the second one?
Where's the smoking gun?
Well, Sipowicz says, you know, the usual, write it down. So I straight up forgot Haywood's name for about a week and a half.
Rita?
And the Shawshank Redemption. But she's a real bitch for doing that.
For what?
Blowing up Jones's spot. Jones gets the little phone hand thing from that woman that he's sort of banging right now. And Haywood's like, oh, do you need to take a call?
Well, I mean, like...
And I think...
Don't fuck in front of your ex-girlfriend, dude. That's basically what he's doing.
No, he's not. He didn't even know she was going to come by. How the hell is that his fault? Yeah, you know what that is? Jealousy.
Yeah, 100%.
Because she chopped the hair. She's now, like... Gross.
All these women, right to chop.
Right to chop.
This is the right to chop year.
We should make them have little funerals for all the hairs. fantastic show.
No.
What? Oh, I can't remember what this conversation is about over here.
Echo. Down. Down.
Off. So this scene is really interesting.
Down.
Off. So they go to this guy who, by the way, Joe Nietzsche's?
Probably the easiest acting of his entire career. He's been in bed all day. It's like, hey, we need you for a day. What do you need me to do? We need you to lay in a gurney as we wheel you into an ambulance. And then the next scene, we just need you to lay flat in a hospital bed and just like refuse to talk.
Yeah, they're trying to get him to admit that he knew the guy that shot him and he knew what happened and he's refusing to do so. And what's so strange is at the end of it, it's like, hey, I got a lot of respect for what you're doing, even though we spent the last like 5 minutes trying to convince you not to do what you're doing. I find that very strange.
And I mean, like, that dude's playing it right. Like, by the look of the man that she's like hooking up with, that dude's got like only like another 10, 15 years. And then he can come back and he can be like stepfather. Like, look at me. I'm the stepfather. Bam, bam, bam. Because she's dating an older man who has money, blah, blah, blah. Like, that dude looked like a little older, had a little white beard almost. You just got to wait him out.
So you think it's a long it's a long game plan.
It's the Michael Scott plan. I don't have to wait you out. You have to, or whatever he says. I don't know what he says. Like,
or fuck up.
Whatever. He's like, you don't have to, your investor meeting, blah, 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 blah. Like, that's what I think it is. Just be like, no, man, I'm good. Don't want to press charges and make that all fucked up. That dude's going to die soon. We're good. That dude's not taking care of himself. He's not going on a walk.
He's not going on a single
He's not going on walks. He's not taking care of himself. Heart failure, 5 years. Then I can be a real father.
Okay, well, that's an interesting take on what happened there. But I want to talk about this guy, Ian Gomez, who is Rocky Morton's business partner. I think he does a great job with this.
No, he's good. He probably out of everyone is the best character actor out of all of them in this episode.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree.
And he bookends the whole story, but he's the best part for sure.
Because he is essentially explaining he shot the dude in the head after the robbery because the guy was saying, like, we're going to track her down. We're going to rip her fucking guts out. Like, he's like, we're going to kill that girl. And he's like, it's mentioned earlier that he tried to financially help her.
Yeah.
And he ran out of money. And he says, dude, something changed in him. Like, we were just running schemes, and then he started, like, pimping girls and drugs, and he just was like, fuck that guy, and he killed him. And what I like is he's, like, a genuinely sympathetic dude. Like, usually they're dragging it out of someone, and you're like, wow, what an asshole. But this situation, you're like, wow, he just, like, he just was kind of fed up with what he was doing, and he was fed up with
the type of person he became, basically.
And it's really cool. Like you said, I think he does the best job of the episode. Also, Sipowicz does make this comment where he's like, play up the fact that he said he was going to kill her when you write down your statement. So you can claim.
They're trying to help him.
So you can claim, like,
holy shit, that Burlington Coal Factory.
That what?
That Burlington Coal Factory sign is still there.
In New York?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could talk about that because this scene, I think, is really stupid.
let them fuck.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Like, it's like we have 4 minutes to kill. How can we get them to have sex in the most boring way?
Not since, like, season one. When, like, just John Kelly was suddenly, like, making out with his ex-wife or one of those women. Like, this is literally just like, how do we get near nudity in the show? And it's so long and so boring where it's like... They're playing truth or dare, and it's like, you guys are adults.
And it's not... Yeah, it's not, like, sexy. It's not like...
Oh, you're not turned on by this?
No, dude. Sitting next to you and my dog, I am rock hard. What? It's just like, yeah, it's like... It's just so boring. Like I think they're like, what's supposed to make it sexy is the brain.
Not her in her underwear.
Yeah, and the fact like when she takes her pants off like a lunatic.
Well, I also love that, like, I find her very not sexy, but I find him like, okay, he's probably got it. So it's kind of like a tennis match where she's just hitting it into the like lot next door, and he's doing a good job. But I do love that in this conversation, he goes like, truth, and she goes, do you take me seriously, or is this just like whatever? Am I just like a joke to you? And he goes, I remember a conversation when you said we just wanted to have fun. So like the answer is, yeah, I don't take you seriously. Fucking come on, look at you.
This is the scene right here. This sums up.
Is it?
This sums up, I think,
where we're at in the show.
No, this sums up where we're gonna be. This sums up like where we're going.
Yeah.
And like,
it's not good.
Yeah.
I don't think this.
Be careful. Be careful.
I don't think this storyline has acted well. I think she's supposed to be playing the, like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, my life's in shambles. It's upside down. And she's like, and Connie is trying to play it like freaking out. I'm overbearing because I want you to be well. And then, I don't know. To me, it just doesn't work like other storylines that are similar.
So we're going to take a pause.
From what?
Just the pause. Just pause for a couple seconds so you know where to cut this out of.
No, don't do this. Don't say what you're going to say. Or figure out a way to say it in a way that you can say it.
You should want... Never mind.
So this dude shows up, and it's supposed to imply... that this Frank guy is going to come over and just sweet talk his way back, right? And he is so uncharming. Like, there's nothing about him that makes you go like, yeah, go back to him. It's like, look at this fucking chode. Like, why would you want to get back with this? First off, that baby is going to be ugly as fuck. Look at him. He looks like Shane Gillis.
I see it, yes, but there's someone else. If I just can't put, like, my finger on it. She's also a lunatic, though. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
They're crackheads, right?
I don't think they're actual drug users. Maybe they are. They're definitely drinkers. But she's acting like, oh, my God, he's, like, so dreamy.
Yeah, and it's
like, what?
Yeah, like, he has said nothing to be like, damn, I get it.
No.
Like, he has said nothing or acted anything that makes me go like, oh, no. Man, like.
That dude is a mediocre.
That was charismatic as.
White guy.
That was charismatic as fuck, dude.
And honestly, after she walks out that door, Connie should have been like, we done.
Yeah, I mean, you haven't talked to her or talked about her up until this point. So, like just let it go. Be like Elsa.
One thing we understand about intervention. You got to have bottom lines, and you got to stick to them.
I didn't know that. I've never been a part of an intervention.
You've watched the show?
Maybe three times.
Okay, well, you need to bump those numbers up.
No, I think you're doing that for me.
Okay. I don't know why, but I'm insulted. Yeah, so... Season 10, episode 3, One in the Nuts.
That's what that episode feels like.
Getting hit in the nuts?
Yeah, just like I feel like right now, sitting here on my couch, I feel like I took one to the nuts.
Meet me in the park. Is it better or is it worse? We're going to find out.
What kind of meat, though?
Is it a hot dog? Anyway.
Because that's not a sandwich.
Hold on. Don't click on it yet. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of NYPD Blue Balls. I'm sorry it took so long to get back. I can make all the excuses in the world, but you don't want to hear it. You want to hear new episodes of NYPD Blue Balls. As it stands right now, new episodes of the show should be coming out consistently every other Tuesday for a few months. We did a huge recording session, kind of commentary style like this. I hope they're, you know, they're going to be a little wonky. We had Kyle's dog bumping into things. We had some weird sounds come over the microphones. We had a little bit of faulty equipment. We're doing our best. We hope you enjoy parts of it. But it's kind of relating to how the show itself has become. The last couple seasons are a little rough sometimes. If you just need more NYPD Blue information in your life, there's a couple of books out there. There's True Blue, written about the first couple seasons by creators and consultants. There's What Would Sipowicz Do, a collection of articles about the show. There is Gene Kendall's, an unofficial guide to NYPD Blue. I think it's on Amazon for 99 cents. And then there are also two in-universe stories written by Max Allen Collins, Blue Bloods and Blue Beginnings. If you find them for a decent price, I'd say they're worth the read, and I cannot find them at a decent price now. So if you find them at a decent price, I'd say scoop them up. We are on Instagram at Asher Brothers Podcast. I will say we only post when new episodes are coming out. And as I go on in this outro, I do want to give somebody their flowers because I didn't realize, because I am not watching this show, but the woman who plays Michelle, that would be Connie's sister, it's played by Catherine Lanasa, who just won an Emmy for her work on The Pitt, a show that I have not watched, but I hear is amazing. So congratulations to her. I hope that you do not hear me making fun of your acting in this, because I honestly didn't think it was a good character or a good, not a well-written character. And it made me just feel bad for her and the people around her. Anyway, also just a heads up, we're going to be getting into some topics that, especially now in today's current climate, are going to be rough. And if you find yourself finding it difficult to listen to us talk about these topics, you are more than welcome to turn the show off. To echo what I said in the advisory about NYPD Blue Balls and the show NYPD Blue, it's okay if you are not comfortable listening to the jokes we make or listening to what these episodes are about. And it's no joke that we're going to get into some dark territory coming up in this season, and it's not really handled that well. So I hope you still stick around and listen to us, you know, a couple of doofuses talk about it. But until next time, have a good one. Be good to yourself. Sorry this outro was so long. And peace.